Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you recognize him? Yes, ladies, he is back. Dr. Darren Porcher, retired police lieutenant from NYPD. So thanks for being back on the show, Dr. Darren. Appreciate it. Love having you on here. Hey, and it's just you and me. So, dude, we are you're in charge, Darren. Do you want to talk about it? You want to skip the story? You just let me know. It's your show today. I'm just working the controls for you. Okay. So you tell me. All right. I love it. So, hey, a shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsors, Gauls at Gauls.com. And don't forget that discount code. It's Radio15 to get you 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. We also have our satellite sponsor, ComplianTechnologies.com. The people with the glove. We've got GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching about 1 million followers on the live show right now streaming. And then we've got TwoBells.com. They built their new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Go to the website, upper right corner of LeoRoundtable.com. You see our online store. You can buy like the mug behind me, shirts, hats, all kinds of cool gear that's got our logo on it. The prices are dirt cheap. We don't make a dime off of anything that we sell. We're just trying to get our gear out there. And also a shout out to all the people that are carrying our show and helping us get on like platforms like MSN and stuff. We got Brian Burns with Tampa Free Press at TampaFE.com, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. So thanks to all those entities. And if you guys are looking to see how to watch our show, we are on, if it's on podcast, we're there. And we're on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, the full gamut. And we also are on radio. We've got 47 radio stations that run across the country. We're nationally syndicated. We're on social media, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, True Social. If you want to find out where we're at, radio stations, dates, times, how to get a hold of the show, leoroundtable.com, our website, all the information is in the top header menu. That's a lot of information. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and talk about, or just kind of give you guys a peek at what we're going to be talking about. We're starting off with National Police Week. The schedule, it's going on right now. Normally it starts on the 12th, and they started early this year, Dr. Darren. So we've also got NYPD, your neck of the woods. A captain ends up being demoted. He criticized the mayor and the Dems in general. We're going to be talking about that. We've got a ballistic vest that saves a Missouri trooper shot by an Arizona double murder suspect. But the trooper didn't get shot before he took the guy off on the bike. It was like a head-on collision. It was crazy. We got a chase involving a U-Haul truck and caught on camera, and it ends with a crash, and the truck flips over, and then they have to kick in the windshield to get the bad guy out. It's pretty cool. Miami cops sue. They're suing over Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Now I caught people's attention. I'm going to read that back. Miami cops sue over Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, two huge actors. The true events film, they claim it falsely paints them as corrupt. So this new film that just came out is called The Rip. And these guys, apparently they took a story that these two Miami cops were involved with, and they're saying it's true events, but they changed the plot a little bit, Darren, and they made the cops kind of corrupt. And the cops, the real cops,
I saw the movie.
Yeah, but they're not liking it, so they're suing, then we got a machete wielding man injures a canine. Dr. Darren and I were talking about this before the show went live. If we have time, we're going to talk about that. But the bad guy ended up being shot by Oxnard police inside of a restaurant where this went down. And then lastly, New Mexico City is paying $6.5 million in a fatal shooting of a man during a mental health call. And when they put that in the titles, they're kind of like insinuating that we should do something different because it's a mental health call. And why in the world would we kill someone? But I always say, don't call the police unless you want a police response, now policeweek.org is the source for the first story. And Dr. Darren, I don't know if you've ever been, I've been to Police Week quite a bit. I went about 10 years in a row. And Tent City, all that stuff. And so have you ever been to Police Week? Just curious.
Yeah, I've been there. And,
oh, you have?
I'm not going back again. And I'll give you the story. The header on this, I want to salute friend to the show, Randy Sutton. He's the president of Wounded Blue, and he actually has a tent set up at Police Week, and they do phenomenal things for us as police officers that have been wounded. And we just really want to salute Randy Sutton for the courage and the endeavors that he produces on behalf of law enforcement. But just to go back to Police Week years ago, back in the 90s. Then we had William Bratton was the NYPD police commissioner. And this is, you know, in all transparency, you know, this is a public story. There was a series of NYPD cops that went down to Police Week. This was back in the 90s. And they were, you know, they were stripped naked. They got drunk. They were sliding down banisters. I mean, it was a catastrophe, to say the least. And so this stuff became universalized with video pictures. And from that point forward, they brought us all into internal affairs. And of course, I had all of my clothes on and I wasn't intoxicated. But
of course,
from that point forward, I just said, look, I'm not going anymore, because they put us through hell. Just people that were common police officers from the NYPD that went down to pay homage to our police officers and our fallen. And so I haven't been back since. That incident happened in the 90s.
So I got to ask you, when you said getting naked and everything, is that where you originally met Randy Sutton?
No, we were in a hotel room with no clothes on. We didn't slide down. On a serious note, you know, it's funny because Randy and I want to say, Fox News sent us to Tucson, Arizona to provide commentary on the Nancy Guthrie disappearance. And we were actually staying in the same hotel, Lynn. But different rooms, but we were staying in the same hotel, Lynn.
Great. Well, you know, I love Police Week. You know, I really think that every cop should go at least once. And, you know, one of the most moving things is the Candlelight
Great
Vigil.
Great time. Don't give me a phenomenal time.
Well, you've got 25 to 40, you know, 45,000 cops descending in Washington, D.C. during that. You know, it's always May 15th is usually the ceremony where they have the president talks, addresses the surviving families and stuff. It's very touching, moving. You've got the Candlelight Vigil. I've got the list of events here right now. You've got the annual. Well, it started early. I mean, you know, the annual Blue Mass was back on May the 5th. You know, that was a week ago today. And then they had a 5K on Saturday. National Police Canine Memorial Service, that was on Monday, May the 11th. So they already, you know, they got a jump start. Usually I associate it with the 12th or the 15th, but it looks like they've got more stuff going on now. And the 15th, of course, being their ceremony where nothing happens after the ceremony where the president talks. You've got the Tent City Takeover Kickoff Party that happened on Monday, May the 11th. And that's where I used to be in Tent City. And they moved it to a less desirable place. And that's why I ended up stopped going. I couldn't make the trips pay for themselves anymore. You got the Honor Guard reception. You got the Police Unity Tour arriving. That's like on Tuesday. You've got the 38th annual Candlelight Vigil on Wednesday, May 13th. That's special. I hope people get to attend that in the National Mall. And you've got other events, Honor Guard, Pipe Band. You know, there's so many cops on there that descend on DC. It's like the safest place to be in the country. It's just amazing. And everybody has their badges hanging out. You don't have to pay the fees for the subways or anything. Everything's free if you have that badge hanging. And it's just the city embraces you. It's just a heck of a time now. If we could just keep the Miami cops and the New York cops away from each other during Police Week, there wouldn't be as much memorialized stuff in pictures and videos. You know, we'd be better. I mean, I remember stories when I was going, we had like NYPD guys stealing Miami police cars or Miami guys stealing NYPD cars. And then they're going by the fire stations and stealing fire trucks. And dude, it was just chaotic. It was just crazy.
It was. And you know, there's a couple of things, you know, from a symbolic perspective, you know, you get the chance to see fallen members of your department. And you're able to, when you go to the police memorial, you know, you see their names etched in stone. And that's just a really resonating thing for you as a police officer, knowing that you work side by side with officers that are actually on that wall. So what we traditionally do is we take a sheet of paper, we place it against the wall, right? And we scratch and we're able to gain the image, etch it and gain that image of the officers. And I was a cop during 9/11. And the NYPD. And so, you know, there were several of my counterparts, friends that have lost their lives. And they're all up on that in a police memorial, as well as an assemblance of other officers that have fallen in the line of duty. In the NYPD, we've lost more police officers than any other police department in the country. Not to say that we're a better or worse department, but it just, it's a testament to what we do for the minimal amount of money we're paid. You put your life on the line for the sake of democracy and the city that you're out there to protect. And that memorial actually is something that pays homage to us in backing the blue.
Yeah, you know, that Judiciary Square and that, you know, the memorial, the candlelight vigil is probably the most touching out of everything for me. Just when they read those names, you got the blue laser, it's nighttime, you got candles, it's just moving, you know, some really special stuff. So I'm glad you kind of brought me back, you know, and I hope that we've got
the curiosity. And also the socialization, not to cut you off, Trump, Chip, but the socialization.
You call me Trump?
I called you Trump. You know why? Because you're the boss. This is your show, okay? You know, it's funny. My wife actually knows Trump, and they met while they were doing The Apprentice, and they just know one another over the course of years.
Yeah.
But going back to this, the socialization is huge. We trade patches with members of other departments, and you keep running communication to the point where there's been many instances where, to this day, I've still reached back, and I'm talking about over 30 years ago. I still have contacts that I reach out to quite frequently as it relates to information that I can extract that assists me as an expert in testifying in these trials moving forward.
Yeah, I've got so many guys I've met over a 10-year period at Police Week that I still stay in touch with. You're absolutely right. And it's a lot of good memories. So if you're listening to the show and you've never been to Police Week, I hope that what Dr. Darren and I both said, I hope that it at least gets you to start maybe curious and start checking out, going with some other guys and stuff. And when he talks about the camaraderie, I'm telling you, there's not an Irish bar you can walk into where people aren't wanting to buy you a beer or food. I mean, I'm telling you, an amazing experience you'll never forget. But if you're a cop, you should go at least once. Commercial break, guys, coming up. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Darren Porcher, retired NYPD police lieutenant. We've been talking about Police Week, trying to get you guys excited about going if you've never been before, and kind of going over the schedule with you as well. I know that we're live right now on StreamYard, which means that we can see commentary on LinkedIn, on YouTube, and also on Facebook. So thanks for watching, and over popping over the Rumble here. We've got a bunch of the guys over there as well. So MVS in Northwest Colorado, where apparently it's 57 degrees today, and Bill BC in Pensacola, where it's 74, and all these guys, thanks for watching the show. We appreciate it. Chili's over there, all those guys. So thanks, guys, for watching. Dr. Darren, before we came back to radio, you had asked me if I liked lasers, and I'd say I like red dots and stuff, sightings, better than lasers. And so where I'm going with that is that you can get, I know people that have carried lasers that get so reliant on lasers. Let's just say that the battery, because you know it runs on battery. If the laser doesn't work, they feel like, oh my gosh, how am I going to be able to shoot the bag? You know? So I always try not to get too reliant on something. Like when I was running outside, before I blew my knee, I didn't like to wear headphones because, you know, if a bad song comes on, then you have a crappy run, you know, and you just want that good song. So there's some outside influences that can affect you. So I do like the red dots and stuff, but if they have a high profile, if I'm carrying like an everyday carry, like I'm carrying a micro now, and I like, it's the new SIG 365. Great gun. I got rid of my Tor Slim, and, it's smaller profile, but if I had it like a red dot on that, now I'm not going to be able to, number one, keep it in that sticky holster that I like. And it's going to have a bigger profile where I'm not going to be able to hide it. Like when I wear shorts a lot, stuff like that. So, but I like the sights better than the laser, but I do like the lasers, but my lasers are my bigger guns.
You know, one of the misconceptions that people have with the lasers or the red dot is breathing and trigger pull. So you can have your sight placement spot on, but if your breathing and trigger pull are off, it's a moot point. You're not going to hit the target that you intend on striking.
No, you're right. I like you know, the guns I have now. It's nice that now you don't have to have a Glock to have a Glock trigger, right? So my Tor Slim had a Glock trigger. My new 365 SIG has got essentially a Glock trigger. My old SIG, my 290, that was like a subcompact, that had a horrible trigger. So it didn't have the quick reset like the Glock. And you had to fully depress the trigger before the gun engaged, and then you had to fully release it. And it was horrible range shooting gun. I had to get rid of it because my shooting was horrible. So I do like.
I carry a Glock 19 every day.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Even when I go gun. To the supermarket, but I'm good with it. Look at where I live.
Yeah.
City.
But you know what? But I'm wearing shorts and stuff everywhere. You know, I mean, here in Florida,
if
you know,
I'm wearing shorts. I still got my Glock 19, man.
All right. Well, that's a big gun to be packing for concealment.
If I'm going to the cleaners, if I'm going to the supermarket, please. Only place I don't bring it is when I go to the gym, because I don't want to worry about somebody breaking into my locker and taking my weapon.
I got you. I'm with you. Well, look, if you're ready, we've got an update story here at NYPD. So RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media, NYPD captain demoted for criticizing socialist Mayor Mamdani and the Dems in general. So this article says that the New York Police Department captain who called out radical City Hall politics, he's now being made an example of, and New Yorkers on the right are taking notice. So this guy's name is Captain James G. Wilson. Caught on video deriding socialist mayor Zoran Mamdani, and he called him an embarrassment. The footage, it went viral, and so the political left, he's getting scorn from the political left and from NYPD brass, actually, and they quickly transferred him, Captain Wilson, to a
911 call center.
Yeah, is that what it is in the Bronx?
Yeah, he's in the 911 call center. That's where the calls come in and they're dispatched. But that's where he is right now.
Hey, that's where all the hot dispatchers are. All right, good for him. So,
I'm joking. You are.
So, the article goes on to say that too many conservatives. Too many conservatives. His punishment is, it's a double standard, because if he would have been talking, trash about Trump, he would have been a hero. And because he was talking about the socialist mayor, they're coming down on him and stuff. We have a councilwoman, Joan Areola. You might know her in Queens. That was kind of a green saying that, they're treating him differently, because if he would have been trashing Trump, everything would have been okay. So what are your thoughts on this? And it sounds like a lot of the troops are sticking up for him. I don't know that there's much point to it, but also when you work for an agency and you start talking publicly, and this thing went viral, you start talking publicly about your boss and stuff. I mean, you wear different hats, and just because you have the freedom of free speech doesn't mean you have total freedom, when you're working for a police agency and you're disparaging the agency or its leader, or the mayor. What are your thoughts on this, Dr. Darren?
Well, Trump, I say Trump. I keep thinking of you as Trump because you're the man, Chip. No, I'm actually thinking about a story that I'm going to have to do as it relates to Trump going over to China. And let's pray for our president, and hopefully this is a successful trip as it relates to his engagement with Xi Jinping, because that when we look to the Strait of Hormuz, we need to establish a level of dominance there, and hopefully China will connect with us and we can get this done the way it should be. But that's another story for another day. But just going back to what happened with Captain Wilson, Chip, you touched on it in the initial piece, in that we have First Amendment rights. However, your First Amendment rights do not transfer to your organizational directives. When I say that, meaning this, if a labor union presents a demonstration in front of a location and they say the mayor sucks, the policies coming from City Hall are inept, those individuals that are protesting as private citizens are covered under the First Amendment. So free speech is protected in that particular case. Free speech is not unlimited, because, of course, we have some parameters to it, such as you can't yell fire or you can't present a level of harm, grave harm to other individuals, which are free speech. Now, when we move on the side of private industry or an organization, then you have specific directives that fall within the purview of that private organization, such as the NYPD. And we all know as cops, political speech while you're in uniform are not something that is, it's not recommended, and it's actually prohibited when you're in uniform and you're taking a political position, because you're now speaking on the part.
Well, hold that thought. Commercial break. Be right back, guys. All right, guys. Time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over 250,000 deployments. And guess what? No injuries, no deaths. It's an amazing statistic. It's actually moved them into the realm of non-lethal in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove of Compliant Technologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3. The hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Darren Porcher, former NYPD lieutenant. So thanks for being on the show, lieutenant or doctor. I get it mixed up sometimes. I know you change the titles just to mess with me. So, we've got a story with a video component. Is there anything with the last story that you want to, with the NYPD story that you want to get back out there? The captain that was
Captain Wilson. All right. Yes. The short version is he has not been demoted. He's been removed from being the executive officer of the 9-4 precinct in Brooklyn to the 911 call center. Believe it or not, the 911 call center is not a bad gig.
Seriously,
it's not a demotion. So he's not being demoted from captain to lieutenant. He's still in the rank of captain, and he's probably going to take a slap on the wrist for making political statements while he's in uniform. Because whenever you make statements while you're in uniform as a police officer, it amplifies as you're speaking for the agency. And that's basically as far as it's going to go. So I see it as going nothing further than a warning and admonish, and he'll move forward and continue to do great things in the NYPD.
You know, for people watching the show, it needs to be that way. We are, you know, we're paramilitary for a reason. Look, if I'm a, you can, it's hard to command. And look, you know, your mayor is in charge of your, you know, commissioner, your police chief. You've got to be able to have respect from rank and file, or at least publicly. So if this police leader, if this captain really felt comfortable saying what he said, he should just take it and be proud, take it like a badge of honor, the write-up or whatever he's going to get, because there needs to be consequences for what you do. So I hope it was worth it for him. Now, where I'm at, when we put a lieutenant, I think we have captains in charge of our
public affairs
dispatch. But it's. You know, you're whenever you have to supervise a bunch of civilians, and especially a lot of those, and I'm going to get myself in trouble, but when a lot of those are like females, there's a lot of drama. So I wouldn't necessarily, I wouldn't wish to be the supervisor over the, over, you know, 911 call center and stuff, because I know that there's inherent problems that go in there. Just like being in charge of like the domestic violence unit, where you have a lot of civilians and you have a lot of females, and there are just inherent issues. I mean, I've seen it, you know, so, anyhow, I hope that he braves that storm at the 911 call center and stuff, you know, well.
Hey, Chip, just remember one thing: as police officers, we're tasked to preserve democracy, but not practice it.
No, I love it. All right, that's a good point. All right, moving along, we've got a story with a video component that we're going to cover next at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. We have a ballistic vest saves Missouri trooper shot by Arizona double murder suspect.
Somebody's headed straight at me on 115th.
Information, you're headed straight towards 848.
Okay, all I can see is the red and blue. Please, someone, I'm doing 45, 50. I can't see the motorcycle anymore. It's just up.
So I like the fact, Darren, that they didn't put bulletproof vest because there's no such thing as a bulletproof
vest.
Exactly. I see that. Just like when we see assault weapons. I mean, there's no such thing as an assault weapon. But anyhow, Sweet Springs is where we're at in Missouri. There's a new video. It shows how a ballistic vest saved a Missouri State Highway Patrol trooper who was shot point blank by an Arizona guy that was wanted for a double homicide. So detectives say this 23-year-old bad guy, Francis Chavez, he killed his own parents in Taylor, and this happened last year, and the body cam from the Missouri State Patrol trooper, it captures this deadly encounter in the moments the trooper realized that his vest had saved his life. So in the body camera that's released, you see the trooper and Chavez. I'm gonna have to go with my own recollection of this because I think my version is going to be a little bit more dramatic and better. So these guys are on a dirt road and they're headed at each other, you know, head on. You've got the trooper in his cruiser and you got the bad guy on a freaking motorcycle with no helmet. And they're like going at it. They're like coming right at each other. And so they're on a dirt road and there's like a field on both sides of the dirt roadway. And so yeah, there's like dust kicking up. They're like hauling butt. So the double murder suspect veers off the roadway. So when you're looking at, you know, the dash cam on the trooper, you get to see the guy's veering off to the left, his right. And so the trooper veers off to the left and then he clips the freaking motorcycle. They're going a decent speed. Cycle starts flipping and stuff. Bad guy goes flying off of it. Remember, he doesn't have a helmet on. And so now the trooper gets out of his cruiser and you can see through the side window. It's a little bit dislodged, the camera angle, but you see the bad guy gets up. He goes up to the motorcycle and he's trying to like pick it up off the ground because he wants to get out of Dodge, right? Because, you know, he's wanted for double homicide. And our trooper runs up on him. And when they say point blank, it was pretty much point blank. He runs up on the bad guy. Bad guy produces a gun. Well, trooper didn't have his gun out. So now he's trying to unholster his gun. And anyhow, there was a shootout. And the trooper at some point gets hit, but it gives him his ballistic vest. He shoots the bad guy who goes down. Bad guy continues to engage the trooper. Another string of fire from the trooper and ends up taking care of the bad guy. And I'm just trying to look here. It says that Chavez, when he hit the ground, returned fire. Trooper fires a second time. Chavez died at the scene, Chavez being the bad guy. And all this happens. It's only a 2-minute long video. So all this happened pretty quickly. And yeah, that's one for the good guys and saved by the best. Dr. Darren Porcher.
You know, these stories, I hear them time and time again. And, you know, Chip, not Trump, but Chip. One thing I want to say is, you know, this was a very valiant endeavor partaken by the trooper. But I just think that a lot of times we have these, and this is just unfortunate. And this is just the nature of policing as it relates to being a state trooper. Oftentimes, they are performing solo patrol. And a lot of the other, the smaller departments, the officers are tasked with solo patrol. I just think whenever you're engaging a suspect with the attempt on taking them into custody, the best course of action is to garner additional officers to help you. And one of the things that I looked to was the felony car stop policy or procedure. Now, granted, we have no national policy in policing, but the felony car stop procedure is something that's a great way for you to engage someone that you're conducting a felony stop of. Now, granted, is this person on the motorcycle? Yes. Did the motorcycle tip over? Yes. Did the person try to get up and move away on it? Yes. But that police vehicle is a great source of cover. And oftentimes we our adrenaline flows, and we've all been in these situations when we're chasing people. We want to get the bad guy, and everything. A lot, oftentimes, tactically, things will go out the window. Fortunately, the trooper was able to neutralize the suspect, but you know he took a round to the chest with this bullet resistant vest, and it just goes back to. A lot of times the best course of action is to await the additional officers to assist you and back up. If a person gets away, I mean, it's unfortunate, but you want to be safe about this. Fortunately, Chavez was the person that came out and gained the short end of the stick. But tactically, always use I'm a person, I was a police academy instructor. So I taught police recruits this for years on end. That police vehicle is a great source of cover and use that to your advantage.
Yeah. So do you think it's fairly safe this Chavez guy won't ever do this again?
Well, I mean, we clearly see that he lost his life. And, you know, another thing is unfortunate. And Chip, I can't tell you how many times I'm sure you've heard this. Why didn't they shoot him in the leg? Why didn't they shoot him in the arm? You know, people just don't understand the concept of what we as police officers do. And the goal is to shoot at center mass, but it's to neutralize the threat. We don't go out there to kill people, but at the same token, we want to go home. And so the reason why we aim for center mass is because it's the largest component of the body, so it makes it easier to hit. That's why we don't shoot, but that's why we don't aim for the arm or the leg, because you have a greater propensity to miss, and that will not necessarily neutralize the threat. You want to terminate the threat, not terminate the person. But sometimes the person loses their life, as has happened in this situation. But this was a legit shooting, because when we speak under the 1989 Supreme Court decision titled Graham versus Connor, it introduces officers have the ability to use objectively reasonable force. And it's through the eyes of that officer at the scene, not hindsight being 20/20 as a person that's a Monday morning quarterback that can judge what happened. This officer did everything right. I just would have preferred that he use that vehicle for cover and garnered additional assets. But fortunately, he was able to escape this with his life.
Well, I mean, I know why he didn't use it for cover. He was trying to get the bad guy before. He didn't know the bad guy was armed, but he was a double homicide suspect. But if he would have used the car as cover, he had no right to shoot the bad guy at that point. And the bad guy would have hopped on the bike and would have driven away, and then he would have had another chase. So I know he's trying to get to the bad guy. He ran around the car, and he's just trying to get to the bad guy before he lifted the bike up, hopped on it, and took off again. You know, so he was trying to end the chase. But I kind of wish he would have been expecting to have the bad guy produce. As soon as the bad guy dropped his hands to produce a weapon, I wish that he would have drawn or at least had his gun out, because he acted like he just totally was unexpected. When the bad guy produced the gun, and now we're like as close as you are to me and my monitor, it's like, you know, I mean, you're so close that the bad guy is not going to miss, and he didn't. You know, he hit the guy in the vest, you know, but it's like, it's just one of those things, you know.
Yeah, but Chuck, I say, Chip, you got to remember.
Call me Trump.
See, because I see you as in a position of superiority.
Well, hold that thought. 13 seconds. I'm going to start your favorite song, and we'll pick this up after commercial break. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. Hey, there's some new stuff going on with GunLearn, so pay attention, you know. And they are the first and only company that offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. Now, that certified firearm specialist, if you have that, even if you got it 5 years ago, now it's worth college credits. Why? Because GunLearn.com, they have hooked up with Smarter Degree, and Smarter Degree's university partners that have turned that certification into college credits. Amazing opportunity. And of course, GunLearn.com, they've been doing this since 1996. They've been teaching everything that LEOs, which is law enforcement officers, need to know about both firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. You can actually start today with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar. And you can even get free training for yourself and all the people at your agency by hosting a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Hook up with the founder, Dan O'Kelly. Again, that is GunLearn.com. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. And my name is Chip the Block. I'm your host. We are talking with Dr. Darren Porcher. And we just talked about a video or a police story that had a video component. And it was about a trooper taking out a bad guy on a motorcycle, which I got to admit, I kind of like. Because he wasn't scared to hit the guy on the bike, you know, with the cruiser. And even though the cop got shot at point blank range, the ballistic vest, you know, saved his life. And I'm glad they acknowledged that. And if your agencies are still out there and you're not putting your guys in uniform and ballistic vest, you should be, you know, just like they should be having long guns too. Any final words on this one before we go to Miami, Darren?
Now let's take it to Miami. Let's go to the celebrity.
You sure you're ready for this one?
Take on this, right?
All right. So we've been talking about Miami cops a little bit because we were talking about police week and the rivalry between
Great
Miami and NYPD. Yeah. Yeah. So FoxNews.com and Darren's no stranger to Fox. That's the news source. Miami cops, they're suing. This is a little embarrassing because I'm in Florida and I got to apologize for my Miami, you know, counterparts here. They're suing over Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. True Events film. They claim it falsely paints them as corrupt. Now I admit you're in a bit of a pickle here, but listen to what goes down and we'll find out what you guys think and what Dr. Darren thinks. We have two Miami and their sergeants, Miami police sergeants, and behind a historic $22 million drug bust, they've filed a federal lawsuit over the 2026 movie. So this is like current day. And the movie's called The Rip, R-I-P as in Paul, saying that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, these two huge actors, they falsely portrayed these sergeants, Miami sergeants, as corrupt cops based on their real case. It gets better. The lawsuit names Artist, with a plural, with an S on it, Equity, which is a production company that ended up being put together and funded by these two stars, and as well as Falco Pictures, which is also involved in the production. Now, Netflix, which distributed the movie, they are not listed in the lawsuit. So the movie Rip was advertised as, quote, inspired by true events, unquote. So that's apparently what created some of the issue, including how the Miami-Dade Narcotics Unit found $21.9 million hidden behind a false wall in orange buckets. And according to the lawsuit, the core plot about their criminal misconduct is fabricated. It's not true. So in real life, the investigators, remember we have two sergeants here, Miami sergeants, they made a seizure at the home of a Guardian Supply Center and or the home of a Guardian Supply Center store owner suspected of taking part in marijuana trafficking. And this is back in like 2016. And it was the largest cash seizure in the history of the Miami-Dade Police Department, which has now become the Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office. And so that's what happened in the movie. Members of the narcotic unit, they face suspicion for allegedly stealing some of the money under false pretenses and for their own benefit. Now, this is all in the movie. This is not like what happened in real life. It also depicts a fictional, made-up DEA agent implicated in the murder of a Miami police lieutenant who himself is killed by Affleck's character later without due process. So they've taken the liberty of throwing some extra goodies in the movie to kind of keep it entertaining, I guess. While the film had a fictionalized twist, the lawsuit contends that it included enough real-world, you know, non-fiction facts to damage the reputations of Jason Smith and Jonathan Santana, who are the two sergeants, including location settings, details about the false wall, cash being found in the orange buckets, and a loaded Tech-9 firearm that was stashed with the cash. So they're saying that because of all the – they had enough real stuff in there where people could figure out, we're talking about Jason Smith and Jonathan Santana, so they must be corrupt too. It gets a little bit better. Smith was the sergeant supervising the real investigation. Santana was the lead detective and has since been promoted to the sergeant. Their names are not used in the movie, but the lawsuit alleges that they were the basis for the characters of Damon and Affleck they're playing in the movie. And according to the lawsuit, after the trailer came out for the movie, a county prosecutor contacted one of them saying, hey, asking, are any of these allegations of theft, have they ever been made in connection with the case? And he wanted his office to, he said, look, my office is going to be looking into this, like thinking that these guys are actually corrupt based off the trailer. They allege they've also faced questions about how many buckets they kept, whether they used stolen money to pay for home improvements. And here's one saying, a county prosecutor said, I can't believe you killed another cop. That sounds a little bit far-fetched to me, but that's what they're saying. On top of that, the film allegedly credited a department member who had absolutely no connection with the investigation. They used him for consulting, and they paid him. So Smith and Santana, they're seeking only $75,000 for defamation and emotional distress. The lawsuit also accuses Hollywood. They're saying they negatively portray cops and that they've got a habit of doing all that stuff. Now, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck himself, they praise cops publicly. I know Matt Damon does, and says Affleck does too, which I'm sure. So prior to the lawsuit, both these Miami cops had asked for a public retraction and a correction and either a prominent disclaimer attached to the film or an end to its distribution. The producers countered that, hey, this is fiction. It's like made up and stuff. And now we've got lawyers involved and everybody has until today to figure out what they're going to do or else the lawsuit's going to go forward. So Dr. Darren, make sense of this for us.
I wish I was a cop in Florida. I would have taken the $10 million and Chip and I, we would have established a palace in the Middle East.
You know better.
We would have killed that. We would have killed this. No more podcasts, and we would have split it 50-50. No, on a serious side, on a serious note, I blame the prosecutor for this because the prosecutor should not have reached out to the officers. I could have understood the prosecutor maybe reaching out to the production company that produced this movie because it's inspired by true events. And by the prosecutor conferring with the production company that erected this movie, it would have stopped there. But for the prosecutor to reach out to the officers, I just thought it was totally, totally, totally out of bounds. And, you know, I borderline see this as prosecutorial misconduct because you should know better. I mean, how many times do we see a movie on the big screen and then we say, okay, we were sure that these cops did this? You go to the source, which was who produced this movie first. And then if you get information that is something that's a salient piece to move forward with, then I can understand it. But I just think the prosecutor jumped the gun on this. Hats off to our heroes that were the cops down in Miami. I think they do a phenomenal job. And it's just one of those things whereas the prosecutor was out of bounds. And it's unfortunate that it's coming to this point whereas the officers have to raise a civil suit because of this. But as you mentioned earlier, Matt Damon, I've met Matt Damon several times in the past. Stand-up guy, super, super back the blue guy.
Smart.
Yeah, you know, and just I can't say enough about him. Now, his partner, I don't know his partner, but, you know, at the same token, I could just speak to, you know, having interactions with Matt Damon in the past. And I just thought that he was a really, really nice guy.
And his mother was a teacher and a school teacher, from what I remember. And that dude, if you ever get in a debate, don't get in a debate with Matt Damon. He's a super sharp guy. I've heard him and he's just amazing. But, you know, I know we got a little less than 2 minutes. I'm not a Sue happy guy, even though I've had to file a whistleblower lawsuit and defamation of character stuff. I do that reluctantly. I don't like to sue. I got to say that because the amount's only $75,000 that they sued for, it kind of puts the cops in a better light. If they were suing for multi-million, I think, these are Miami cops just trying to get ahead of the game and trying to take advantage of someone making a movie and stuff. So it's only $75,000. So that adds some credibility to them. But this movie opened up an opportunity for these cops to write a book or to have some revenue generating opportunity from a book or a script or whatever, you know, because of if they were really used for the basis of this movie, that's a huge opportunity. And then you can get your own story out there and talk about how, you know, the story was, it was fiction. It wasn't true, even though it had some nonfiction true components, you know. So I hate the lawsuits, but it's only 75 grand. So I don't think these guys are bad guy, you know, these Miami cops. I think they're probably good guys. Maybe they just got some bad advice on how the poor pursue this, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they should go this route. You know, maybe they don't want to write a book or whatever. So,
well, these are challenging suits. Whenever you're suing a movie production company, especially on something that is based on true events, the one thing is, you know, they never reveal their identities in the movies, their actual identities, meaning the officers, the actors, you know, in the movie never reveal the actual identities of the police officers. And I saw The Rip. Actually, I saw it last year. This is not a new movie. Yeah, this is nothing new. This has been out for a while. And in my wildest dreams, I never imagined this to be in actual something that actually happened. But the short version of it is, you know, hey, look, this is what happens, but it's going to be it's a tall order for the officers suing the production company on this because it's based on real events, not in entirety as being a documentary.
Right. They're not saying it's a work of it's a nonfiction true. The entire thing's not a true story. Hey, Dr. Darren, thank you so much for being on the show. You've nailed it today. And I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Rainey's Lieutenant Rainey Sutton's 501c3.
The great Rainey Sutton.
Help cops out. A shout out to our sponsors, Gulls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, and TwoBells.com. Don't forget your Gulls gift card code. It is Radio 15. Type it in. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.